Hi, I'm Sean. I've always had a passion for personal growth and a curiosity for life's profound questions. I created this show as a platform dedicated to inspiring change through thoughtful and insightful conversation. There's a lot happening in our world today. Some of it clear, some of it confusing. My goal with these conversations is to leave you feeling better and more informed about the state of our world in these challenging times. I'd like to invite you to think outside the lines. Hello, beautiful people, and thank you so much for joining me today. My guest today is a national speaker, author, and mindset expert. As a master results coach and a recognized authority on human behavior, she's on a mission to revolutionize the way we understand our subconscious connections to wealth, prosperity, and achievement. Her expertise is drawn from more than 28 years of relentless dedication and persistent learning. She's carved her niche as a master of neuro-linguistic programming and advanced hypnotherapy, fields that connect the conscious and subconscious mind. Throughout her career, she's worked tirelessly with thousands of individuals, corporations, and associations around the globe, aiding them in elevating their mindset to supercharge their income and outcomes. Her crusade against limited thinking is not just about making more money. It is a battle against the status quo, against our preconceived notions about wealth, success, and our own abilities. It is a mission to unlock the vast potential that lies dormant within all of us, to bring about a fundamental shift in our approach to money, sales, and success. I invite you to think outside the lines with Cappy Pidwell. Cappy Pidwell, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
I'm incredibly excited for our conversation today. I feel like it's going to be a lot of fun for our listeners. I'd love for you to start off and just tell us a bit about your background and what you're doing to make the world a better place.
Well, thank you. And it's always fun to share because I think every person has their own journey, but mine's been one of mindset mastery. I was in sales many, many years ago. I'm very, very stressed out as a sales rep for a company. And I got lockjaw in my jaw. And so I went to all these doctors and people to try to resolve my issue. And somebody recommended I see a hypnotherapist. So that was 30 years ago. Not a common conversation back then. And I was, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 skeptic, I was probably a 12 but very desperate. And so I went very skeptical and desperate. And 1 hour later and one session later, my jaw popped open. I had had TMJ for 5 days and could not open my mouth. And an hour later, no surgery, no anything. My jaw popped open. And it absolutely fascinated me. So I couldn't believe it. She made me this little cassette tape and I would go home and listen to it every night. And I called her back a few weeks later and I said, well, if you could do that, what else can you do? I started working with a hypnotherapist. I became one myself. I studied under her and then I moved on to the American Institute of Hypnotherapy that used to be in Irvine, California many moons ago and became a master hypnotherapist and then moved on, you know, of course, NLP certified and master results coach, all that good stuff. So really, I am very passionate about hypnosis specifically. I've helped thousands and thousands of people. I no longer have private practice, but I had a private practice for over 25 years, and I've spoken on thousands of stages. I got my book done, The Mindset Code, during COVID because we all had to sit behind our computers. And excited to have Stedman Graham endorse my book, which is Oprah Winfrey's Life Partner. So yeah, I've got a book, I've got products, programs, been a speaker, all that great stuff, but really helping people understand specifically how does their subconscious mind work. I think there's so much information out there about, you know, affirmations and all these things to get change, and it doesn't work for everybody. It works for probably, you know, 2 out of 10 people get their goal that way, but I have a very specific recipe to help people get their outcomes.
And I am so excited to hear more about that. I think, first of all, your story is incredibly fascinating, and I really appreciate you sharing that. I think I will say that it's rare when a guest's bio resonates deeply with me. And I must say that when I read, there's some words in your bio that I'm going to read, and when I read them, I knew definitively I had a chat with you. So your biography, it states, you say that my passion lies in helping people overcome their inner challenges to achieve rapid outcomes for more success and less stress to improve their lives with mastering their powerful subconscious mind. I feel like there's a lot to unpack there, and I'm going to try to get through as much as possible during our time today. But for those who might not be familiar, can you take us through exactly, you know, what exactly is NLP or neuro-linguistic programming and how it's used?
Sure. Thank you. So basically, we all have this amazing thing called a mindset. And I often say, you know, to my audience and listeners, I want everybody to think about this for a minute. How much time a day do you spend on your technology, right? Your iPad, your cell phone, your computer. The average person spends 9.6 hours, I believe, something like that. It changes a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, a day in front of a screen. Yeah. And it fascinates me because we need to utilize this technology, of course, but we have our own inner technology called a mindset that is absolutely magnificent, that most people spend very little time in their mindset. So some people say, well, I meditate, and that's awesome. What I do is different. It's not meditation. It's very different. It's the same state of mind, but hypnosis and NLP are really for specific outcomes. So if somebody comes to me to say, you know, increase their income, if somebody comes to me for sleep, if somebody comes to me for, you know, better balance in their life, maybe they're very successful and they're financially where they want to be, but emotionally they're a mess and they don't sleep and they have no balance, those types of things. So it's very specific. So NLP is a technique, a technology, if you will, that really, through the neural network in our whole system, through the language patterns, and also I would include the emotions and beliefs we hold, program our outcomes. So for instance, if somebody's always saying, oh, you know, I'm tired, you know, something like that, or I can't do that, whatever their internal feeling, thought pattern is, and they repeatedly say it, think it, and feel it, then that's exactly what the body and the outcome will be. So the body follows, and we're not taught how to master our mindset. So like I said, I'm a master of NLP, but I'm heavy on the hypnosis side, and I combine the technologies, if you will. I use other methodologies to get into someone's subconscious to help them make that change. And it really is, I was working with a client yesterday, and she said, Kepi, you know, you're so much more than, you know, a hypnotherapist. Like you talk to me and you understand everything that's going on inside of me. And I said, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. So it really is easy for me to feel someone's frequency, I guess you could say. And then I make people products. So she has, you know, a health issue. And so to be able to kind of tune into that frequency and help her, you know, an hour later, she's like, Kepi, I have zero pain. And when we got on the phone, you know, she had a 10. She was in, you know, horrible, critical pain. So the body's very smart. So when I say I'm kind of the geek squad for the mind, you know, if you bring your computer into the geek squad, you don't ask them what they're doing or the Apple store, you know, they just whip it out and you're sitting there kind of in amazement that they can fix it, right? Like it's, then they hand it back to you and it works. And that's kind of what I do for the mind.
So I'd love if you could talk a little bit more about hypnotherapy specifically, because I think that some people have this, like a lot of misconceptions, I know that I do, around this technique. And obviously, you know, you know how powerful it can actually be when it's used effectively. Can you give us some more insight in that?
Absolutely. So I often tell people, I was a big skeptic too, and I understand that. And you know why? Is because of the misconceptions. We've seen stage shows and we've seen, oh, people are going to manipulate your mind. Well, hypnosis has been around before medicine was, right? People were using all kinds of healing methodologies, you know, Indian tribes and herbs and natural medicine. We didn't have medicine. And it's interesting to me that it's, you know, kind of got the hokey wokey, you know, woo-woo thing attached to it after modern medicine. And, you know, the reality is we need it all. And so what I tell people is get rid of the word, number one. Okay. So if you get rid of that word and let's call it mindset mastery, all of a sudden it becomes this different thing. So the reality is if you know how to program your mind, and again, I can't, it's hard to show because we're on a podcast, but I tell people think of a circle like the size of an apple. And researchers say we use 5 to 10% of our mind. So if you think of that circle, 5 to 10% of your mind is logical. What is the other 90%? It is your subconscious. It beats your heart. It flows your blood. It orchestrates your pancreas, your liver, your kidneys, your eyeballs. I mean, everything that's happening in your body, there is a universe orchestrated inside of your body. And the subconscious runs the show. So when we're wanting an outcome and we're trying and we're stressing and we're struggling, the average individual thinks up to 500 words a minute inside their head. Where's all that information coming from? It's coming from our programming. It's coming from our past. So if you get rid of the word, you know, hypnotherapy, which is really what it is, it's through relaxation we're able to access that 90%. And it's kind of like a storage on your phone. If you have a new phone or a new computer and you download a new app, then the app can run. But if you don't have an app, then it's not going to run. And that's how I think of hypnotherapy. If somebody has an app of lack or stress or struggle or strain or, you know, chronic pain or whatever it is, and that app's kind of running in the mind and in the body, you know, it's pretty hard to get a different outcome. So if you can not completely delete, but turn the app off, if you will, and then get a new download, which is what I do. I create the new information for the mind and body to resonate with. And a lot of times people will say, like, you know, there's resistance there. Well, that's because you were not programmed to believe, think, and feel that way. It is a process and it's not a magic wand. And so when I work with a client, I will only do a minimum of 2 sessions with them, which I don't do a lot anymore. I only do that through referral, but I do take on private clients here and there. And then, you know, people buy my stuff when I speak or they get my book or, you know, I have products online and stuff like that. But the one-on-one, of course, is for very specific outcomes for people. And once you create I create a product for them, then they just listen to it on their phone when they go to bed at night or they start to fall asleep. Because when we go to sleep, we access that subconscious fully. And then that new data just gets downloaded and they wake up and go, what did you do? I feel like someone cleaned out my brain. Like, it's magnificent. It really, I think every person on the planet should be doing it, you know, but a lot of people fall asleep to the news or they fall asleep and they're stressed or they take a pill to go to bed or they drink too much. Or, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but the mind is a really powerful thing to understand. And when you know how to leverage it and maximize it, your outcomes can change very, very quickly.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by all this, actually, because I think I'm with you that the mind is obviously incredibly powerful. And I think most people aren't even utilizing a fraction of, you know, what's possible. I want to talk about blocks a little bit. But I think before we dive into that, I know that a lot of blocks to things like success, for example, are connected with things that have nothing to do with money or finance. Yep. And in your work, you talk a lot about, in particular, there's a word that you use in some of your content that it's a word that consumes, I know it consumes my life and I'm sure many others, and that word is control. Can you talk a little bit about that word as a concept and how it applies to the work that you do?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've never been asked that question. I've been asked a lot of questions. That's a great one. So I think what happens for us as human beings, as, you know, society, is people want control. Right? They want control of their lives. They want control of relationships. They want control of their jobs. They want, you know, control of the outcome, whatever that may be for them. And I can speak into this because I used to be a control freak and my hand is up. I was very controlling of my life. I stressed a lot over it because things that didn't align or work out the way I thought they would, it would, you know, upset me and, you know, get me stressed out, so to say. So when I started doing this work, one of the things I realized is the more I tried to emphasize that logical control, I guess you could say, and the frustration and anxiety that put on me, it put a lot of pressure on me. And I'm sure as your listeners are listening, people are under a lot of pressure anyway in life today, but sometimes we can be our worst enemies by putting that pressure on ourselves. And what I learned as I started doing this and my jaw popped open and then other things started happening through these sessions, it literally blew my mind. And I realized that the more I learned to let go, the more control I actually had. And it's such an opposite concept. And it's hard for me to logically explain because it was such an experience for me. As I've helped my clients with over the years, is like, as I started to have more peace within myself and build these new suggestions and beliefs and emotions in myself, that is what began to reflect out of me, that I didn't feel like I needed as much control. Things started falling into place easier. Coincidences started to come. It was like, almost like, what's my best analogy? Like if you go out to a rose and you yell at it and say, bloom, blossom, come on, open up. And it's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to open on my own time. But if you just walk by and you you notice it's blossoming every day, it's growing a little bit, it's opening up. That's nature. That's really, you know, the innate way we all bloom. And so I kind of learned to live like that instead of trying to control. I realized, and today I can tell you, I speak in a lot of corporations and I go into companies and do, you know, strategies and I make programs for companies and stuff. But control is very much idolized in the world. And I always say I'm very quiet in my control because nothing really rocks my boat anymore. And to me, that's the most powerful place to be. It doesn't matter what somebody says or what they think of me. I know what I believe about myself today. And that's taken many, many, many years to get here. Trust me, it didn't happen.
Obviously, we don't have control over anything, right? I think that's at the end of the day, that's kind of where we land. But I think that that's a pretty radical idea for most people to accept. And I think that it's something that I've struggled with in my life, right? And I think, you know, I'm sure many people listening have as well. How do you work with people to grasp this, though? Because I think it's one thing to kind of talk about it and understand it that way. But, you know, intrinsically, how do you grasp it? And do you have any, like, you know, process or tips, sure, you know, in terms of how you speak to people in this realm?
Definitely. And I think you're absolutely right. Let me tell you, this has been such a journey for me and such a learning coming from somebody who is a total type A personality and massive controller. Okay. So I completely understand it. And the journey, I think, for anybody who is wanting to evolve spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, whatever their growth or their need or want is, there's many different ways that people want to grow. It's learning about yourself, you know. So, you know, step one is, for me, I was willing, you know, to go get the help that I needed because I had this problem, right? And so I tell people all the time, if I have an issue today and I don't know how to resolve it, I'm going to find the best person to do the job and help me because I'm going to get there 10 times faster. So, you know, a lot of times I think today, especially with our information overloaded world, everybody, oh, have you met this person, Cappy? And this person says this and this and that. That's great. How many results has that person produced, right? I mean, I've worked with thousands and thousands of people. So I think it's really the, you know, to step one would be identify, you know, for yourself, is that control serving you? Is it getting you? Because there's a point where we all have to make decisions. We all have to be a leader. You know, that's different than putting that pressure on ourselves and trying to control every outcome. So step one really is, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself. Is that controlling energy serving you? Only you know. You know, some people would say, yes, it absolutely is. I'm never going to change. Well, then great. Keep it. If it's not and you're putting pressure on yourself and it stresses you out and you're striving to for perfection and there's no such thing, by the way, you know, but, you know, you rate yourself and then it's like, you know what? Really, realistically, I operate out of control, say an 8, but it's really not serving me. So what can you do to, you know, support that? I would say, you know, I always go back to a good old pen and paper. You know, what do you believe about control? Do you believe that you have to have it? Do you believe because you didn't have it, you have to exert it? So I always tell my clients, start with what you believe, rate it first, and then what do you believe about it? Because your beliefs drive your behaviors. And if you believe that, oh, I have to have control and I'm never going to change, Cappy, well, then guess what? You're right. I don't argue. It's not about arguing. It's about your beliefs drive your decisions. And again, there's layers that we go through that when I'm coaching a client, but that's where I always tell everyone to start. Identify what you believe about it. And then the next step, I would say the other tip, once you identify what you believe. So I could ask you the question and you could answer that. What do you believe, Sean, about control?
I believe that I need it in all circumstances because it keeps me safe. But okay. I know simultaneously that it doesn't keep me safe and it hasn't kept me safe.
Right.
So it's like this weird paradox, right?
It's a false sense of control, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I would say somewhere in your life, you probably didn't feel like you had any or somebody was extremely controlling over you, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what I, you know, I mean, I could sit here and talk to you and pretty much tell you everything just based on your energy, based on you sharing that with me. And that's how we're programmed, right? You wouldn't have that issue if that data didn't get downloaded into you, right? So when somebody tells me, Cappy, I have this issue, well, it's typically not a new issue. It's typically something that happened in their environment when they were little. And that was the, like, you're a little blank slate. And then you got programmed to believe and think and feel a certain way. And then we grow up into our adult life. And then we have these coping mechanisms. Like you say, I have to have it in every area of my life. And yet, is it really serving me? But I guarantee you, when we're little and we are getting our programs downloaded from the people around us, those things help us at that time, right? Like they help us cope through whatever those circumstances are, but they often don't serve us as adults. So that's the flip switch, I guess you could call it, to where you could say, okay, this habit, this way of me living and being served me, but it really isn't getting me the life that I want to have today. So that's why I love working in the subconscious so much, because that change can happen effortlessly. It does take a little time. It does take repetition in listening to the sessions I create, but the outcomes literally are just mind-blowing. After 2 weeks or a week, you'll be like, oh my God, what'd you do to me? I mean, it's amazing. And that's why I feel like it's such an untapped area, and there's a lot of misconceptions and misinformation out there about it, but the mind is extremely, the mind-body, it's not just the mind. I say the subconscious is the whole body, but the process of creating that change is often, you know, people want it and yet they resist it. It's like you say, it's the same dynamic, right? Like I want it, but I resist it at the same time. But the reality is we're all changing anyway. Why wouldn't we want to change for, you know, our highest good, to serve ourselves and the people around us? Because as we get better and feel better, it really does reflect on everybody around us. So it's a process, though. It really is.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like there's so many different avenues I could go down with these questions, because this is really fascinating stuff. And I think there's a lot of people that I've talked to that just feel really stuck with a lot of things in their lives, right? And a lot of what you do and what you talk about is how to get those people unstuck. And I think that just knowing that there's a way to become unstuck and to kind of change the dynamic of how your life operates, it's incredibly compelling. And I love that there's people out there like you that are doing, you know, work in this realm. I wanted to dive a bit deeper into the concept of limiting beliefs, because everything I've learned about personal development references this concept. And I think that without a comprehensive understanding, I think it's kind of hard to make any progress. So from your perspective, where do these limiting beliefs typically stem from? I heard you mention childhood a minute ago. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And how do you work with your clients to kind of explore this and overcome these beliefs?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I wrote my book. It's called The Mindset Code, because there is a process to this. And I know for me, I've had so many clients come to me and be like, oh, I've tried this, I've done this, Cappy, like, blah, 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 nothing else has worked. I'm like, yep, I get it. I was one of those people too. I tried other things too. And it's good. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a life learner. We got to try different things. But I think that it's, for me, the recipe or the steps to get the outcome. We can read good books. We can do affirmations, you know, kind of the general information that's out there. But what I tell my clients is, you know, you're you. You know yourself better than anyone. You live in yourself, right? And when you understand, you know, we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. You know, I'll raise my hand. I have weaknesses. Just because I do this for a living doesn't mean I don't have obstacles or challenges or things come up. It's called life. But how do we cope? How do we deal? And how do we get through things, for me, is way different today than it used to be. So number one, if I'm having, like you say, a limiting belief, you want to give me like an idea of one, and then I'll talk into that a little easier for me. Give me an example of a limiting belief.
I struggle with anxiety personally, like pretty badly. And I think a limiting belief for me is that I can't go do that thing that makes me anxious. So for example, let's say like public speaking, getting on an airplane. I mean, I could give you a list.
On it. Okay. Okay, good. No, thank you for sharing. And so I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So we'll call it anxiety. Okay. So I would say, you know, rate that on a scale of 1 to 10 for yourself. That's the first thing. So if you're like, oh, Cappy, I operate out of anxiety pretty much in this area, that, so yeah, it's an 8 or it's a 9 or whatever it is, right? You want to understand how much of that energy is consuming you, number one. So once you kind of understand this is just my coping mechanism, it's something I've done to protect me or whatever, right? So then what do I believe this energy is doing for me, right? What do I believe about it? Oh, I believe I can't change it. I believe I have to have it. I believe that whatever you believe, right? And, you know, get a pen and paper, write this stuff down. I always tell people this is the biggest missing component to all change. People don't explore what's already in them. They go, oh, Cappy, are you going to, you know, do a session and am I going to find out, blah, blah. No, it's already there. I'm not going to make you do anything. You're running in you all day, every day. So why wouldn't you want to explore, right? So that is my step one to everything. What is in you? What are you operating on? What do you believe about it? I believe it sucks. I believe it's great. I believe I'll never change. I believe I'm too old to change it. I believe, you know, it protects me. I believe whatever, right? Flush it out. Because I guarantee you, most people, I have this whole analogy. I say it's kind of like if you ever walked by a trash can and it's full of trash and you try to put a cup on top of it and it falls onto the ground because the trash can's like over flooded. That's kind of what most people's mindsets are like. So they try to put new information in. And there's no room because they've got so much going on and they don't even know what's in the can. It's not a trash can, but I'm using it as a metaphor, right? They don't even know what's in. You see what I'm saying? So if we threw some of the stuff out, got rid of some of the junk that didn't work, then we have room to put new data in the subconscious. That's how I think of the subconscious. It's been loaded with information. Nobody knows what they're running on. And then they're trying to put information on top of it to make change. Well, it creates a lot more stress for people when they set a goal or they try to get something and then they don't get it. Well, there's all this other stuff running your decision-making process. We make over 35,000 decisions in a single day. So, you know, kind of decluttering the mind first, and that's what I'm telling you to do, is if you write these things down and you start to understand this energy has consumed my life. It's not actually serving my life, right? Well, then what would I love to believe? So here's kind of the next step to that. One of the phrases I often teach people when I'm speaking or doing an event is, and you can write this down or your listeners can write it down, is say something to your subconscious like, I'm beginning to believe. And notice how that feels. I'm not saying from now on, you will not have anxiety, Sean, which is what a lot of hypnotists do. I'm saying I'm beginning to believe that peace is more enjoyable. I'm beginning to believe that I can get more done in a peaceful mind. I'm beginning to believe that I feel better every day in every way when I have more peace in my life. Something like that. So it's I'm beginning to believe and then fill in the blank. And it's really powerful for you to begin to say this to yourself because there's zero resistance. And that's the power of hypnotherapy. That is the power of suggestions. It's the words I use as my clients. And like I said, if I said, Sean, from this point forward, you will no longer have anxiety. I mean, that doesn't feel very good. You're like, yeah, sure, Cappy, right?
Yeah, and I love what you're doing here because you're causing the mind to take a smaller leap, right? So you're not saying like, I'm going straight from where I am to where I want to be. You're saying there's a journey, there's a bridge that connects those two things and you just need to basically get on the bridge. And I love that.
You're absolutely right. Yes. And so when I understand what's driving my energy and I understand and I start to feel like, wow, I've had this thing like control. I've had this thing I've been carrying around and holding in me for all these years. It's getting very heavy. You know, I don't want to carry this energy around. What would I prefer to feel? I would love to begin to believe that peace is easier than ever for me. Like that, there's zero resistance. So that's, you're right. It's getting on that bridge, discovering. I have a program called Explore Your Money Mindset. It's exploring your mindset first. And then understanding, wow, okay, I believe this thing about myself. I've been holding this feeling, this energy, this way forever. It's exhausting. I don't want it anymore. So instead of being like, I hate it, I don't want to be this person, it's more like, okay, how would I prefer to feel? And that is the work. That is the practice. And through repetition, and that's why I make people products, because it's much easier if you watch one of my videos and I have workbooks and I coach you kind of through the workbook to help you explore what's in you. And then you put in the subconscious session. So instead of just closing your eyes and trying to pour information over old data, we really, that's kind of my secret sauce, is we like to explore what's there first, recognize it, identify it, work with it, and then begin to shift that energy, frequency, belief system. And that's all done at a subconscious level. That's why I use hypnosis, because it does take a person to relax, to let go, to be open, to want to make those changes. And people typically don't come to me and say, I want to be worse off and, you know, miserable. They come to me and they say, I want to be happier. I want to feel better. I want to do more, make more, have more, whatever, you know, their outcome is. So it's a journey, like I said, but it's not that difficult if you have the processes and the steps to do it. And that's where I think a lot of people stay stuck, because we're in an information world and there's a lot of good information out there. Certainly some of it works and much of it doesn't. So some people might say, oh, this worked great for me, and the exact same thing didn't work for another person. So, you know, everything's not for everybody. I think it really just has to resonate with somebody, and they have to be willing to do the work. You know, it's like saying, we all know we should go to the gym, but does everybody go? Or we all know we should work out to look and feel great, but does everybody do it every day? You know, no, but you got to be willing to do the work.
Yeah, definitely. I think stuck is a really good word too, right? It's kind of up there with control. I think that, and a lot of this really kind of stems, it's all intertwined, I think, right? It's, you know, the control is definitely an aspect there, because I think there's, you know, I know with me specifically, there's that part of me that thinks, well, I think control and avoidance, actually, now that I think about it, because you start to avoid things because you just don't want to put yourself in the situation where you can't control something, right? And so it kind of just snowballs from there. And I think a lot of your techniques sound really practical, and I'm excited to try them out myself.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think that, you know, we are where we are who we are. And, you know, I feel like so much of our life we spend, oh, what's the right word? It's like more of an emotional energy, right? Like you say, you have anxiety. I definitely felt frustrated a lot because I wasn't producing the outcome. I think sometimes people, you know, get depressed. Sometimes people have addictions. You know, everybody's dealing with something somehow, some way. And I truly believe it is because of a lack of information about ourselves. Personal development's fabulous. I've been on a personal growth journey for many, many, many years. And like the breakthroughs and, you know, the different processes, they're all good. But I can tell you, of all the things I've done, and I've done a ton of stuff, hypnosis blew my mind. And still to this day, almost 30 years later, there's not a day I don't do it. I do self-hypnosis every single day. I use it for everything. There's nothing. I mean, I've helped people with cancer. You name it, I've done it. And, you know, I used to do smoking cessations for 99.9% of people stopped after the first session with me. I mean, the success rates are just phenomenal. So I don't do those anymore. But, you know, I mostly work with people on success strategies and increasing their outcomes and their income and, you know, getting to that next peak performance level in business. That's pretty much my focus for entrepreneurs and companies. That's what I do. But over the years of helping everybody with all these different things, it's just amazing the outcomes that you can get. There's nothing. People come to me all the time and say, "Cappy, have you ever worked this?" I'm like, "Nope, but I could probably do it." And
let's try it. love that.
Yeah.
You alluded to the fact that everyone deals with this stuff, right? And I think that maybe like intrinsically we know that, but mental health, and I classify all this, you know, under mental health, and it's why I want to have conversations like this, because I don't think enough people are talking about mental health. I think we're starting to, right? There's some people at the forefront that are starting to bring the conversation to light. But I think the first step is understanding that everyone deals with this stuff, right? Like sometimes you think you're special or whatever, but we're really not. Like everyone's going through the same, you know, crazy journey.
100%. And that's why when I speak or even share with you today in your audience, it's like I raise my hand to half of what I'm talking about, or I wouldn't be doing this for a living, right? Like I had TMJ and it was from stress. I would grind my teeth at night because I was so stressed about my sales and I was so worried about, you know, all my business. You know, it's like stress created that, right? And I worried a lot. I was a worrier. And so now I'm a warrior, but I used to be a worrier, but I had to learn, right? I had to learn How and yeah. why? What was I doing? But same thing, I got downloaded. My mom was always worried. I'm the fifth of six kids. There was always concern. There was always lack, you know. So when you're in a program or you're in an environment that you're growing up in and that's the programming you get, of course you operate out of that. That's all you know. And so that's not bad or wrong or right or good. That was just what was so for me. So to reprogram my mind, to learn to do everything different, to maximize my subconscious when I started using this work and seeing the rapid outcomes I was getting, I was like, holy smokes, this is like nothing I've ever done. And like I said, I did a lot of personal development courses and classes and stuff, and I love it all. I'm not discounting any of it, but this got me. When I started understanding my subconscious, I understood the power of suggestion. I understood the frequency of lack or stress or anxiety versus peace and harmony. They're night and day, right? The emotions, the vibrations are night and day. So when somebody has an issue and they want peace, but they live in anxiety, for instance, like you say, there is a bridge. There's a process to get you there. And it doesn't have to take long, but you do have to have the tools and the steps. That's why I wrote a book. I have, you know, all the steps in my book. I call it My Subconscious Secrets to Change. And there's only 10 chapters, but each chapter walks a client through the steps of what I would do sitting with them. And then there's scripts in there, so you can read it on your phone yourself. You could buy the sessions online if you want them with the book, but you could just get the book too for $20 and, you know, do the steps yourself. And but you got to do the work. So it's a fill in the blanks kind of thing. I have a course with it too, if you want to watch the videos and get the sessions. It's, you know, I got a lot of stuff people can do to get those changes, but it is work. You know, I'm not going to lie. It doesn't have to take forever and it's not a ton of work, but you do have to be willing to explore yourself and figure out what's working for you and what isn't. And then what would you like to have instead of it? You got to kind of replace the energy with something.
Yeah. Well, and I think candidly, one of the most important things you've said in this conversation is the fact that you are immersed in this world and you practice it every day. And I think that, you know, you liken it to going to the gym, working out, right? It's not something, it's like one and done. It's something that you're constantly working on, yes. Right?
I would agree with you. But 10 minutes a day for the entire day, when I set my mindset every single morning, I do it at night too. I just made myself a new session yesterday. I think it's 8 minutes and 90, you know, whatever. It's not even 9 minutes. And then I just wash, rinse, and repeat every single day for probably 3 to 4 weeks. And then I do it at night. And sometimes I'll do it in the middle of the day because it's not long. And then I'll move to a new topic. But I saturate myself on the same topic. And I tell people that all the time, like when I make them a session, or and I'll tell all your listeners this, if you're listening to something, do it repeatedly and don't listen to 10 other things, because the mind's like a 3-year-old. If you're putting data in there, it's kind of like if you're going to teach a little kid the ABCs. If you teach it ABCs and then Spanish and then colors and then 1, 2, 3s and animals all together, it's going to learn, but it's going to do way better if you just focus on ABCs for a month straight. That kid's going to know the ABCs inside and out. And that is how the subconscious is. You want to saturate it with the same data over and over and over. Let it just rinse, wash, and repeat to and through you consistently, continuously for just a few weeks, and you will be absolutely amazed at your outcomes. And people don't do that. They kind of flicker to the next thing and flow to the next thing. And I'm going to try this and I'm going to read this and stay consistent with something. And, you know, just let it. I tell people, just pop my CDs in and go to sleep. Like, you don't even need to try. Just let it wash through your mind and you'll get the outcome. But it is a practice. Yeah.
Well, it's like attention spans today, right? Or just so on top of everything, you know, that's going on in the world. I think our attention spans are just all over the place. And so I love the idea of focusing. And I do agree with you that the mind, you know, it needs time to absorb and it needs repetition. And I think a lot of people, you know, with our attention spans these days are like, that didn't work. I'm going to move on to something else.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, with social media and all the information overload we have at our fingertips today, we're moving faster than ever, right? And so I am very careful of what I put my attention and intention on, because I master my mind and I've worked my whole life for this. I do not put my attention or intention on stuff that doesn't serve me. I don't watch videos that I don't waste time on things that don't serve my soul or myself. And so I don't turn on the news. I don't, you know, watch gross, weird things. I think of my mind like a bank. What am I depositing into it every day? Because whatever you're putting in is precisely what's going to come out of you.
If only everyone on the planet could hear this conversation. I know that you work with a lot of high achievers. What secrets have you learned from these folks? And what are some things that you can share with us?
Wow, that's a good question. You have wonderful questions. Yes, I have. And I would say, you're welcome. I would say that some of the most influential people in my life and people that have really impacted, you know, my journey along the way, there's been many, but they're willing. They're willing to take responsibility. They're willing to look at themselves. That's what I have found. And that willingness to me is a key component to anyone's success. Are you willing to look at it different? Are you willing to be open? If you're just like, no, it's this way, that's the only way, that's my way, well, then you're probably not going to grow much. You're going to stay stuck. You're going to stay on that treadmill or that hamster wheel. You've got to be willing to step out of your zone sometimes. And is everything going to be for you? No. But I would say that highest achievers I have met are flexible in their thinking. They're very willing to listen, to learn, and to apply or not, right? But their willingness is key. And it's something I've learned over my life. I'm extremely willing to look and to listen to things that interest me. And kind of like I said earlier, I don't waste my time on things that don't serve me. And that's just a boundary I've really set for myself. But really managing your mindset, where are you going to put your attention, your energy? And be around the right people, because when you're around the right people, you know, emotion is very contagious. So if people are negative, that energy is contagious. But if people are empowering you and they're, you know, into personal development or growth or goodness or creating or whatever it is they're doing, it's a really important part of, you know, you managing your own energy. But I think that's a key too I want to touch on. It's your mindset. It's your energy. It's your life. It's your journey. You know, you're the creator. What do you want to create? Do you want to create a bunch of stress and chaos for yourself? Or do you want to create harmony, peace, and joy and bliss? Like, it's up to you.
Yeah, I think I love that actually, especially from a creative standpoint, right? Like I just brought this show back after a hiatus, and I started with I felt that there was a need to have some topics around politics in the first few episodes. And I tried to be really thoughtful with how I engaged people on that topic, because obviously it's, you know, very sensitive and whatnot today. But I wanted to do it through the lens of positivity and how can we make things better and how can we, you know, work together to make things better and, you know, bridge the divides, as it were. And I think it's really important to your point. Like we have to be really thoughtful and intentional about what we not just put out into the world, but what we take in, right?
Absolutely. 100%. I love that.
One of the things I'm particularly curious about, because I know that you work with a lot of folks, you know, with respect to mindset around financial success. How do you balance the importance of that financial success with overall well-being and happiness?
Good question. Well, I'll tell you why I started doing this, Sean. After helping thousands of people in my private practice, people would often say to me after they got a few outcomes, they'd say, oh gosh, Cappy, you know, if only you could help me, you know, increase this. And I worked with a lot of salespeople because I was in the real estate world and I was a title rep back in the day. And then when I started studying this, I have my real estate license. So I, you know, I've been in sales my whole life. So it just became a common theme, and where people were coming to me and asking me questions about money. And so I used to make jokes. I helped a few people make a lot of money. And then I'd make jokes on my calls. I'd say, man, I need to make like a money program, because it seems like that's what people keep coming to me for. And it was something I had to work on. And I'm a single mother. I had my own business. And back in the day, you know, 25 years ago, there were not a lot of entrepreneurs, especially women. And it was a journey. You know, I had two little girls and married for a long time. My husband, you know, had an affair with someone at work. And, you know, all of a sudden my life turned upside down. So money was a thing for me that I had to learn how to produce and manage and balance and, you know, take care of a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old at the same time. It was a lot. So as people were coming to me more, and I always say the universe delivers us, you know, stuff we have to teach and learn. And so I started really realizing that, you know, I came from a lot of lack and worry and stress over money. And so, of course, that's what I was doing. I was repeating what I knew. And then I thought, you know, I had to change, you know, my own mindset after my divorce and, you know, becoming a single parent and all that good stuff. So I just started doing a lot of work on it. And what I realized is that you can't produce abundance with a worried, stressed, lackful mindset. They don't match. And so I started doing a lot of work on myself and started helping, you know, like I said, clients, and started seeing results in my personal and professional life, and then started helping all these people. And I thought, wow, there's something really here. So I created a program called Mental Money Mastery, and it's a 21-day system. And it took me years to create it, but it was through the results and the requests of my clients and really my own. Like I said, I had to be willing to do the work myself. And after I started understanding my personal relationship to this thing called money and understanding the dynamics and the decisions and the stress that it causes people, some people have a lot in their stress, some people don't have any in their stress. It's just such an interesting dynamic. So I really fell in love with the topic of helping people understand their money mindset and having such good balance financially and emotionally, and not having that fear or lack, or I don't have enough, or I have a guy that's got millions and he couldn't enjoy it because he was so stressed out to do anything or go anywhere because he was constantly watching his investment. I mean, he was a stress monster. He was sick over it. So it's not always a lack of money. It's how people are with their money, right?
I really appreciate you sharing your personal journey. I think that really helps people relate and identify with what you're discussing. But yeah, I asked that question because I think that there's a lot of programs out there that, and especially I think if you look at social media too, right? It's like, oh, the money and the flashy cars and the houses and everything. And like, those are great, right? And I think that there's a lot of people that could use more abundance in their lives. But I think that having it and appreciating it and knowing what to do with it once you have it is equally important as obtaining it, right? And I think that there's a disconnect there for a lot of people.
I totally agree. You know, and I have so much around money. I mean, I could talk about the topic forever, but I often tell people, like, I have a pen in my hand right now, but I'll just use it for an example. I'll tell people, like, you know, I have a pen in my hand, right? Like, you have a pen in your purse, your pocket, or your wallet, whatever. Like, there's trillions of pens. Like, we don't walk around and worry about pens. And I'm just using this as an example, right? Like, we're not like, oh my God, is there going to be a pen when I get there? Like, people put all this energy on this thing called money, and money is everywhere. And when we begin to understand that it's what we put our energy on, and you're right, if I have an abundance of money, where am I going to flow that money to? Where am I going to invest it? How am I going to manage it? Where am I going to move it? Money doesn't move without you. It's always moving. It's coming. It's going. You're paying bills. You're getting paid. It's a momentum of movement. And when you're in the flow of that, your investments go better. I help a lot of investors. So it's the energy behind it. You know, am I going to put my money in this and they're stressed out and it's not going to work? Well, then don't do it, because you're already pouring the energy on, you know, something that you're fearing that you're probably going to manifest the outcome to be kind of crummy. So the mind and the energy on anything, including our money and where we're moving it, what we're doing with it, do you appreciate it when you get it? Are you grateful for every single thing that comes in? I have an exercise in one of my programs, Mental Money Mastery, that I have people look at their bank account every single day online and appreciate what's ever in there. I don't care what the number is. Start to connect with the appreciation that you have money there. And you'd be very surprised if you start to create a new relationship between you and your money, because it is a relationship. You'll never divorce. You'll never leave it. It will be with you forever. You might as well enrich it and spend time learning about it to have a healthier outcome with it. So I think it's a very important topic.
Yeah, I love the bank account exercise. I actually do that. I open my app every morning and I say thank you, because I think if you can appreciate what's there, right, more will come. And I love the pen analogy. And I feel like what you're really saying there is, like, pens are everywhere and abundance is everywhere, right? And money is part of abundance. And if you can appreciate that, you know, it's those things are not hard to find, then they will be easier to find, right?
Exactly. There's opportunity everywhere. And when we're connected, and that's why I say, like, I love every single day spending that time with myself to know that, you know, I call it the universal bank account, right? Like, the universe is a provider. Nobody's up there orchestrating the planet spinning. I mean, we know who is, but you know, it's not on a computer, right? Like, we live in this technology world, but the reality is the universe is magnificent. The planets, the solar system, the star. I mean, there's so much occurring that we're not conscious of. And so when we connect to, you know, that, our highest good and source, if you will, or God or whoever it is you go to, I just think that we are all, there is so much abundance. And when we're focused on that abundance and we're appreciating all the good that are, is around us and the miracles that are occurring right now, then that opens up opportunities. Those coincidences happen. But when we're worried and we're stressed and we're anxious and we're in our little head running around, you know, trying to figure all the answers out, it's like, stop for 5 minutes, do a deep dive on yourself, put on some soft music if that's what you want to do, close your eyes and, you know, take a few minutes to connect to the miracle that your body is, the miracle that your brain is, the miracle, you know, you have a roof over your head or a car to drive or a clothes to put on or food to eat today. I mean, gosh, it's just, we have so many blessings that we ignore. So I think that's an important practice as well.
What advice do you have for someone who maybe is just starting on this journey of exploring their mindset, and how can you,
I would say absolutely get my book. It's such an easy read. It's only like 100 pages. It's on Amazon. It's called The Mindset Code. It's $19-$20. But those are the steps, really, and the processes. Chapters are super short. Has you identify in chapter one, what do you want to create in your life? Get clear, number one. What is it? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want a relationship? Do you want money? Do you want to be happy? Do you want your health to improve? And so you pick a topic, and then you work on that topic through the whole book. So that's number one, of course, because it took me a long time to write, and people get great outcomes. Number two is be willing. You know, you've got to be willing to say, wait, maybe there's more for me and I haven't learned or gotten the tools to do it. And again, if they're not me, you know, start with identifying what you want. Close your eyes, put on some soft music, practice, 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 practice. You have to be willing to do something different to get a new outcome. If you keep doing what you're doing or thinking how you're thinking and feeling how you're feeling, I guarantee you're going to get more of the same. So you have to, it's like watching a TV channel and complaining about it, not wanting to watch it. Well, pick up the clicker and change the channel. And it's kind of the same thing in your thinking. You have to be willing to change the channel and do the work and start focusing on something new to get a different outcome for yourself. So is it a process? Yes. But like I said, I've got some free resources on my website. People can go view. I've got products to purchase on there. Like I said, my book's probably the easiest because it's only $20. But yeah, there's different levels of learning, mostly for, you know, business. Like I said, I don't have a session for everything on my website. It's mostly money, sales, and then my book, The Mindset Code. There's just a few products on there. And then, of course, if people, you know, want to work with me, they can email me and I can share that.
Well, Cappy, I really enjoyed this conversation and I'm just so incredibly grateful to you for taking the time to share your insight with me and my audience. I know you've talked a little bit about your books and such and your site, but tell us how we can connect with you if someone wants to reach out.
Yeah, thank you. My website's my name. It's CappyPidwell.com. CappiP as in powerful, IDWELL, CappyPidwell.com. And if somebody wants to get a hold of me, they can email me. I believe there's a form on my website, or you can just email me at cappy@cappypidwell.com. And I do not advertise my personal sessions on my website. They're not offered there. So that is a referral kind of thing or a conversation thing to just make sure I don't do drug addiction. I don't do a lot of things. It's mostly for personal outcomes that people want to get professionally, like, you know, get to that next level, de-stress, maybe sleep. You know, I have a very high level client right now that kind of like you couldn't get on a plane. We just did a session and he texted me from where he landed and said, this is the best thing I've ever done.
Oh my God, I love that.
Wow. So, you know, it just really depends on the outcome, but that's a more personal thing. So yeah, that's how people can get a hold of me.
All right. I want to thank my guests today for sharing their insight with us. And I'm incredibly grateful to you for taking the time out of your day to listen to this conversation. I hope it left you better and smarter. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review for the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have an idea for a future guest or a particular topic you'd like me to cover, you can email me directly, hello@thinkoutsidethelines.com. Now may you go out into the world today and leave things better than you found them. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.